We talked about last week, and we'll just give a little bit of introduction for people that weren't here last week, the concept of the concept of, hi mommy, how are you? The concept of, we talked about this aspect of that when the Jewish people were taken into the Churban, we have two different scenarios, both by bias Rishon, by the first bias, and by the second bias of when there was destruction, where it was a reality of some type of deep connection. So we have the story of the first Beis HaMikdash when they revealed the Parochus. The Kruvim seemed to be intertwined, intimately intertwined, and in an intimate way. And then we also saw that that Titus HaRasha, in the second Beis HaMikdash, he took the Parochus. And he violated the Parochus in the most terrible way. He first had he laid with a prostitute, and then he stabbed the Parochus. He stabbed the Parochus, and the Parochus started to bleed. And we spoke about the concept that when a Kadosh Baruch, even though there's a Churban, there's a destruction, what the message of the fact that Rosh Chodesh Av is called Av, which is a father. And why? And it's and the Kruvim were like a husband and wife together, and the concept of Tu B'Av, where we dance, where there's a time of Shidduchim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying in the moment of us having to be go with the Golus, he wanted to remind us about how deeply intertwined, how deeply beautiful our relationship is, and how much it matters. So that was last week, but we want to continue. We want to take that concept of that deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to get to a place of where we could do something with it, because it's very nice to say that we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us very much, but we're still in Golus, and it's very difficult, and we don't really know how to get out of it and what to do. So this week we'd like to discuss a little bit about what we could do on Tisha B'Av. What's the approach on Tisha B'Av that could get us to tap back into that deep love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing. So it starts off with we started off 3 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, a little less than 3 weeks ago. It really started off with the concept of in Sefer Yetzirah. It says a very interesting thing. It says that there each month has a representation, a letter that represents the month, and also a shevet. So you have 12 months, you have 12 shvatim. You also have 12 letters that represent each month. So the month of Tammuz is the letter Ches, right? And the month of Reuven. The letter of is the letter Tes, and the month of Shimon. We also talk about these different senses that the month represent. So in the month of Tammuz, we talk about Reuven, we talk about Reu, Beni, right? The name Reuven comes from seeing my son. Reu, Ani, I'm sorry, seeing my suffering. So Reu, so in the month of Tammuz, there's an aspect of Reuven, Ches, and seeing. In the month of, there's a letter Tes, which has to do with Tishbav, Tesbav. It's Shimon, Shemaiah, and it's Shimon and it's hearing. Now, if you realize that Tammuz is the Ches and Av is the letter Tes, so Ches and Tes are the word Chet. And that's the concept of the pasuk. That's Chet Yerushalayim, that the sins of the Yerushalayim happen when? In Tammuz and going into Av. We know that almost all bad things happen. Basically happened in starting in the Shivas with Thomas, with the Eagle, the Meraglim, the Luchos were broken. All that happened and it led into Tisha B'Av, which is the destruction of the Churban and a bunch of other stuff. Now, it's interesting. There's a concept that in Parshas Vayechi, it says that Reuven, that I'm sorry, Yaakov wanted to reveal the Ketz, but he wanted to reveal the end. He wanted to reveal when Mashiach would come. And he wasn't able to. So there's a very interesting conversation that happened. Yaakov, the Baal Turim brings this down. The Baal Turim brings it down in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Aleph. And it says like this. Yaakov said, I want to reveal to my sons the end is. And the reason why I want to be able to do that is because I look at their names, and every name of all the Shvatim, and there's no letter Ches, and there's no letter Tes in there. So there's no Chet. And that has to do with the fact that he said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chod, and all the Shvatim answers, Baruch Shein, Kifay, Mach, Solom, Vet. There's no Chet in there. So what does Hashem respond? You're right, it's true, in the letters of the Shvatim, there's no word, there's no letter Ches, no letter Tes, there's no Chet. But there's also no letter Kuf and Tzadi. There's no letter Kates. There's no revealing of the end to the Shvatim. Who understands the concept of the end? So Yitzchak, because what's Yitzchak's name? Yud Tzadi Chav Kuf. So Yitzchak has in it a Kates, a end, and Chai, a life. Yitzchak is going to one, which has to do with the Talmud. The Gemara says that Yitzchak always defends the Jewish people. He's the one that Kona Avonim Bedin. He's the one that acquires us with judgment. He's also the one that's going to take us out. So Yitzchak was able to understand when the end is. But Yaakov was not able to construct them, because even though they had no chet, but they also didn't have the concept of kates. What does that mean? Why didn't they have that? So the starting point of this, and we're going to develop this as we go along, is because the Shvatim needed to be able to get along. And we know that the downfall was that they didn't get along. They sold Yosef. They had a lot of issues. So the starting point of the relationship, the starting point of the kesher, the starting point of the connection of between us, that if you want to know when the end will happen, it's the starting point is that when you have Shvatim to get along, so even if they could be perfect in their Avodas Hashem, they have no sin in them, but the problem you need in order to have a Kates, you need to have the also the relationship of man to man, fellow man to man. That's what all of Rosh Chodesh Av is a month of relationships, because we can't even get started in the conversation of fixing up the relationship with God if we haven't fixed up the relationship with our fellow men. Now, with that said, right, we know that Reuven is the starting point. Reuven is the one who does tshuva. He's the first person who does tshuva. He's a person who, if the pasuk says on him in Zaisa Bracha, Yechi Reuven for all Yomus. And Rashi over there explains, Yechi Reuven lives for Olam Hazeh, for all Yomus, and he never dies, for Olam Haba, he doesn't lose Olam Haba. So Yitzke Maisa Bila, his act of Bila, his act that he did wrong, was not even mentioned anymore. Why? Because when Reuven does it, when you do a complete Shuva, you create a reality of something that was bad and makes it good. We can understand something here very fascinating. The pasuk in Shir Hashir, which is, says a pasuk that says Kel Ganas Egos Yerati, like gold, the Magad of a Ganas, I think is a garden. Egos Yerati, my nuts Yerati will come down. So what's special about Egos? What is the aspect of Egos? Like why of all things Egos? So a few things about Egos. Number one, the reality is, the Gemara in Chagiga says, that no matter, that Tamil Chavim are like Egos. They're like walnuts. Why? Because even if they might join themselves on the outside, people that have deep relationships, deep connections, if they have the neshama, right? So a walnut. You could roll a walnut. There's actually games. The kids used to play in the old days. You used to take walnuts and roll it down. Why? Because it doesn't ruin the nut inside. The egos does not get ruined. The nut itself does not get ruined, right? It's protected. So it might look rough and it might look dirty, but the relationship that we're talking about here is what's inside the shell. What's inside? This is the starting point of how we're going to develop a relationship with not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with other people. Our issue is that we're very superficial. Tshuva, the reason why we can do tshuva is because most of our faults come because of our superficiality. That's a word. When we're superficial, right, we do an act of let's say silliness. We do an act of chet
not because deep down we want the chet, but because we get caught up in a very superficial way. By the way, our relationships, when they build on superficial realities, also become very easy to like, you know, get disturbed by, get bothered by. But when the relationship is very deep, when the relationship is when you're looking at the inside, when looking at the nut inside, the reality of the of that inside, and we understand it doesn't get dirty, right? That in itself is a tremendous thing. That in itself is something that's going to cause us a relationship, a stronger relationship, a deeper thing, a deeper understanding of what we're looking at. Now, on the conversation of egos, so we know the minhag is, there's a very famous custom. There's a custom that we don't eat egos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Obviously on Kippur not, but during the week between Rosh Hashanah all the way to Shmini Atzeres, people have the custom not to eat egos. Why don't they eat egos? Why don't they eat walnuts? So the famous reason is because egos is the same gematria, the same numerical value as chet, as sin. And so it's not appropriate on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, where we're being judged, right? We're being judged to like eat something that symbolizes, that has the same gematria, same numerical value as chet. But the question is, you could ask, wait a second, if that's true, there are two times that we do use egos in a very interesting way. The minhag is, the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is at a chasin by his ufuf, the minhag is to throw egos at him. There's, you know, it might hurt. Maybe it's a good idea. Get him to know, understand what marriage is about. But we throw egos at him. Right? The other time that we do egos is by Pesach. On Pesach night, the minhag is to give your children egos. Give them treats and egos. So what's with egos? Why would we give something that represents chet? Why would we give something that represents chet to a chassid? Why would we give it to a child by Pesach? So there's a very big difference between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and let's say a chasno and Pesach. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur happens because we need to do tshuva. And Hashem comes and He says, I'm going to judge you. And at that moment, we are terrified. We might be terrified, or maybe we're nervous and everything. So our tshuva that we do then is a tshuva that also has a little bit of superficiality to it. It has a little bit of, because we're scared of what our year is going to look like, we do tshuva. So Hashem says, egos, don't eat egos, because that's chet. It's all over again. But what about a chasna kala? A chasna kala about to get married. And we know that all the sins are going to be forgiven. And on Pesach, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes us out, and it's what's called, He takes us out with love, with Ava. So in the situation when we make mistakes, and then we correct those mistakes in order to make the relationship better, right? When you take mistakes and you just try to forget the mistakes to be forgiven, so then you still have chet. But if you made a mistake and that mistake launches you into a deeper understanding, a deeper connection to fixing up the relationship, so that case, then egos turns into a whole nother word. You know what egos turns into? The word taif. Good. Because egos is equals tough. When I take the missteps, when I take the things that I messed up in my life, and I come and use them as a tool to make a better, deeper connection to someone, so then at that moment, that sin doesn't become a sin. It becomes tov. It becomes good. And that's the lesson we're teaching, first of all, on Pesach night, where it's not that we can make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But if we just double down on the mistake, we just try to erase the mistake. So then you're just going to start, it's superficial, you can have chet. But if we approach the mistakes in our relationships, and we say, what the mistakes I made, I now want to turn and use it to make this relationship better, then you have tov. So the message we give a chassan, for sure, is that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes in marriage. But egos, don't let the egos blab a chet. On the contrary, you could take egos, and if you have the love, and the love of the relationship is enough, strong enough to correct those mistakes to make them better, you'll end up with tov. It happens to be that the letter tov, where if you spell it out, so Tes Vav Beis, right? So Tes is your Tes, Vav is Vav Aleph Vav, and Beis is your Tes. Is the becomes the letter Tov becomes Isias. The letter, if you spell out the letters from the letters of Tov, so Tes is spelled Tes Yud Bay, Tes Yud Tav, sorry. Vav is Vav Aleph Vav, and Beis is Beis Yud Beis, Beis Yud Tav, sorry, is Isias. Why? Because the building blocks of a good relationship, right? Isias means the letters, like the Aleph Beis, and we know the whole world was created for Aleph Beis. The building block of a good relationship of Tov is understanding that the deepest part of this thing is to keep the relationship going. So now we can understand what we talked about last week, but we're going to build upon now. If the Hashem messages to us as we go up to out of into exile into Golas, is that this relationship is so deep, it's so connected, and all I want from you is to create a ratzon, a want to create good, to be good in this relationship, and to prove it. So the starting point of that is first to create good relationships within your fellow man. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in someone that can't get along with someone else. I always say the mashal, it doesn't make any sense. Can you imagine, I always say this analogy, can you imagine you're playing basketball in the park somewhere, and you totally beat the other guy. You play one-on-one against another guy, and you totally beat him. You beat him like 21-2. And not only that, you made fun of him, and you put him down, and you won with a statement, and you walk off the court, and you make a whole big deal about it. And the next day you walk in, and you have a very big meeting. Whether the meeting is to get a job, whether the meeting is to, you have a proposal, whatever it's going on, and you have this meeting, and you walk in, and the person that you get the job from, the person you have to make the proposal for, sitting on his desk is a picture of the kid that you just beat up, literally. You beat him up both in the basketball court and your words and everything. And it's very clear that the father knows exactly what you did to his kid. So how much success, how much hatzlacha do you think you're going to have in this interview, right? You just beat up the guy's kid. So what do we think? We think we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we make fun of someone, we put down someone, we put down another person, and then we go the next day and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me parnasa, please give me shaluka, please give me everything. It's a ridiculous notion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't get along with my own children and you want me to help you out? That's what happened. So it's true that Yaakov looked and he saw that there was no ches and tes, there's no chet in his children. But he also, because there was no cakes, there was no end at that point. You know why there's no end? Because there was no achdus. There was no relationship. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bring a Mashiach without relationships. That's what we're talking about here. Sinas Chinam, right? The base of Mitzvah is destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And what are we doing to fix that? So we could be all religious and everything, and we could do all these more chumas and stringencies and everything. But the reality is, if we don't care about people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it doesn't mean anything. And that's literally the shonus of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im saying, Hashem says, I don't want your fattened calves as a carbon. Because it didn't make any sense to him. It's nothing. It's not anything that's real without the relationship. It's like literally, I said this last week, but it's like literally, you know, coming home, you know, and giving flowers to your wife and then like, you know, say, ignoring her the rest of the night. That's not a relationship. You know, I said last week, you can imagine a person comes home and the wife, his wife has put on a nice dress and cooked the whole dinner and everything, and the kids are bed ready and the candles and everything. And you're like, you know what? I'm not really hungry. I had a slice of pizza on the way home. So besides being an idiot, but besides that, like, you just devastated the whole relationship. It means your relationship is so nothing that it doesn't matter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desperate. And that's the Churban. He's desperate for us. He shows us I'm intimately connected with you, but you're not interested. You don't even want to look at me. You don't want to do it. So how do we get back to this? So there's actually something very fascinating in this past week's parsha. It's unbelievable when you look at some of these pesukim, and you have these weird words, and I'm always fascinated by these weird words, and when you get some insight, it's amazing. So the pasuk says in this last week's parsha, after they hit Sichon Melech Amori, who lived in Cheshbon, so that we, and Og Melech Bashan, the famous Og Melech Bashan, who Yoshev Be'Astoros Be'Edri, in Edri. What's Edri? I don't know. But right after that, Moshe came and Be'er as a Torah Zayis. He explained the Torah, like a wasping of Torah. So he needed to knock out Sichon and Og. So Sichon, we understand, Melech Cheshbon, right? How many of us make calculations? We always like, we make all these calculations not to do what's right, right? Even when we're inspired to do what's right, we end up making a calculation to convince ourselves out of it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, first of all, you want to learn Torah Shabbat Peh, you want to be Jews, we got to first knock out all the Cheshbonis, right? We all have reasons why we couldn't have done this, and he never would have asked, and it never would have happened, and everything. But what's Og Melech Bashan? So we know Og. Og was a very big, scary giant. And he lived in Edrei. What was the overwhelming giant? What makes someone a giant in your eyes? You know what makes someone a giant in your eyes? It's your lack of confidence. It's your lack of belief in who you are. It's you, by limiting yourself. Moshe Rabbeinu was much smaller than Og. But Hashem said, I'll take care of it. Right? And what is Meshach? Meshach goes and fights him. Right? The same thing as David and Melech with Goliath. Right? They go and they win. Lo and behold. Why? Because they saw themselves so much bigger than what anyone else would tell them. The biggest chorban is that Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at his people and he says, I see so much more than you. I believe so much more in you than you believe in you. And that's a chorban. And if you understood that I'm offering here, You wouldn't be lowered. You wouldn't give up on yourself so easily. And so many people, it's so amazing. I would love to do a study one time in Lakewood Yeshiva, but I know what my own experience is. In Lakewood Yeshiva, to me, it's pashut that there's so many of the talented people, like the first years that they came there, who leave Lakewood 2-3 years later. And the guys that have survived much longer were not as talented as the other people. They were not as, but they believed in themselves. They believed that with the help of Akash Bokhli, they could do great things. So it's not only a negative because you don't believe in Hashem. If you don't believe in yourself, it's so much, you don't believe in, then you end up not believing in other people either. The confidence, when you talk about relationships, the first relationship is with yourself. So look at this word. Look at this word, Adri. Aleph, Dalet, Resh, Ayin, Yud. Right? That's where Og Melech Bashan lives. So what is this direction? If you take this as an acronym, there are five words that are in Adri. Aleph means Evyon. Dalet is Dal. Resh is Rash. Ayin is Ani. And Yud is Yasa. These are five of the most depressing words in the Hebrew language. Right? Evan means a lot, like I'm the poor, like completely poor, completely destitute. Dal means empty or poor. Rash means wicked or like this empty, again empty. Ani is again a lesson of poor. And Yasim is orphan. So what happens is that Og Melech Bashan, the giant of the world, the giants of the world that we are terrified to slay, our own realities that we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as negative. We see ourselves poor. We see ourselves alone. We see ourselves orphans. We see ourselves everything. It's a terrible thing because you can't have a relationship. If you look at yourself and you believe in yourself that you can't do anything, this is a famous concept, there's no greater Yetzirah than years of giving up hope. There's nothing worse than giving up on yourself. Right? So comes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, if you get rid of this Edri, I could give you all Torah. You could be a wellspring of Torah. But the first point you have to realize is that never give up. Don't get sucked into this aspect of that. Oh my gosh, this Evyon, this Dal, we're empty, we're wicked. It's crazy. It's a crazy thing to think in those terms, especially when you understand that you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He's giving you He gives you everything you could be successful in. It doesn't make sense. You speak to people that had successes. People are always surprised by the people that have successes. And they could be here tomorrow. They could tell you how smart they are, how great they are, and everything. But the reality is most of the people that I spoke to that are very successful say the same story. I didn't know how it happened. I didn't know. I just had an idea. I started it, and a college book, God helped me in this. And I've heard this from extremely successful secular people. I heard it from people that are successful in the religious world, right? So what the difference between a person who's successful or not is very simply how they look upon themselves. If they look at themselves with in emptiness, they look at themselves with like that they are not capable of doing something, then they won't be able to capable of doing something. But the first step, if they look and they understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my partner, and that I'm never alone, I'm never a Yosem, I'm never poor, I'm never by myself, nothing is here that's going to be lost. I can accomplish so much, then you literally slay the giant. The giant of Oak. Oak is coming and telling you that I'm this big, overpowerful thing and you're nothing. Right? That's what the Ragam said. I have to show we're never going to conquer this great giants. Right? Right? I'll never get there. These are the words that people you hear when people are not being Matzach. Phone call, so therefore. You don't understand, but you don't understand. I can't do this because of A, B, and C. Or you don't understand. I went to this school. I went to this. And you look and you say, wait a minute. Just line it up. There are people very simply. They believe in themselves and they have tremendous asacha. People that don't believe in themselves don't have asacha. So that's the churban. That's the goal. It's the craziness of if you understand Hashem is offering you this relationship and the answer is no, I'm not sure I could do it. What you're basically saying is, I don't believe in Hashem. And that's the famous pasuk, Patiach Hashem Asa Tov. You want to know how you get to Tov? You want to know how you make your things right? You can mess up. You're allowed to mess up. I'll tell you a story. There's this one of these people, one of the people that actually gave the kol a lot of money, right? He told me the first day he opened up his business, the day he opened up his business was a Thanksgiving. And he said that day almost killed him. It almost ruined his whole business. He didn't realize how successful it was going to be, and people waited in lines, and they were upset, and they were angry, and everything. He said, I was almost done before I even started. Right? He said, but what was I supposed to do? I had to go back. I got to go back the next day. So I apologized to the people, and I said, you know, look, we're going to try to be better. We're trying to make it better. And he said, I almost lost his business a few times, he said. But then he sold his business for in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So that's in the physical. But imagine the ruchnius. Think about it. Look around the world. Look at the people that are successful. I know that the Dom stories say that every guy that was genius and everything. But it's really not always true. It's not true. There's always people that were much more talented who didn't accomplish the same amount. So look at this. What's Betech B'Hashem Aysa Tov? What's Betech B'Hashem? Beteach b'Hashem is that you beteach in Hashem, right? That and they'll do too. That beteach in the relationship they have with God. That I could do what I could do. I could do what my talents allow me to do. I could do what I could accomplish, and the rest is up to Hashem. And look, you turn around, you realize that people never dreamt of finish shas, and people never dreamt of having successful business have successful businesses, and so people who've never dreamt about starting organizations, and that's because their confidence is not confidence in their own realities. The confidence is that if I try and I believe in myself and I partner up with God, right? If I pick God up to be on my team, I could have success. It doesn't mean it happens right away. It doesn't mean. Amuna betachon, made famous by Rabashkin, but it's true, but they said this before, but Amuna betachon is Allah based. Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av means Amuna betachon. That you want to know how you're going to rebuild the base of Mikdash, so you have to have Amuna betachon. Who's the first person you have to have betachon in? You have to have Amuna in yourself. The starting point of this is that you get up and you say that I'm someone that matters. And if I believe in myself, this is so, devastating sometimes, because you realize that when people are confident with themselves and they believe in themselves, they almost never have to be pulling down other people. It's so obvious that people pull down people when they're not confident and when they're not happy with themselves. When you're happy in yourself, when you're confident in yourself, nobody could touch you. They can't do anything to you to make you unhappy. The problem is that we all have a little bit of things that you know trigger us. People get triggered all the time now, but they trigger us and they say things. But the truth is, when you are doing what's right and you're happy about it and you're excited about it, and a guy says it's negative to you, you're like, you know, it rolls off your back. It doesn't affect you even. So this is interesting, because the name of Bitachon is called, I don't know if this is Shem Hashem, so I'll just spell it out. Aleph Ches Tes Dalet Mem, which is the Gematria of 8. We know in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akin Hashem Echad. We testify every day. We have an ayin, a dal, a big ayin, a big dal. We testify to Hashem that we believe that the connection is so vital, we're going to be Maaseh Nefesh for it. If we need it to be, we'll be Maaseh Nefesh it. The same way any of us who is a father or spouse, well, of course, we'd be Maaseh Nefesh for any of our children. Right? But what really we're saying is Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, we're testifying, as Rav Noach Weinberg famously say, figure out what you want to die for and live for it. Right? You don't have to die for God. You could live for God too. Right? That's what we're saying. We want to know the Emunah B'Tachon is that we could have a wonderful life in this world if we are connected to something. But you know what's even more amazing? Shema Yisrael Hashem Alkeinu Hashem Echad with B'Tachon is the Gematria of Evyon, Dal, Rash, Ani, Yasam. Those five things that pull us down every time. So every time we say Shema Yisrael B'tachon, what we're saying is, I believe in myself. Don't get pulled down. You're not poor. You're not wicked. You're not empty. You're not anything. You're the greatest person that ever lived for you. That's who you are. That's the kodesh you have. And if you want to get it, then what's going on? So the chorban is when we fall into the trap of not believing in ourselves. Now, if we are willing to believe in ourselves, and we know that it's very clearly, the Maral says very clearly that in the first Beis HaMikdash, we did very bad veros, and yet we got back to Beis HaMikdash. But when we have Sinas Chinam, we're still not back. Why? Because the Sinas Chinam is revealing to us, it exposes us that we don't believe in the relationship. It exposes to us in the reality that we don't believe that this relationship matters, right? Because if it matters, we would see people from the inside. The same way when we mess up, and the way we get reconnect is by saying, you know, that was a mistake, but let's make it a superficial mistake. Let's not make it a deep mistake. So I want to reconnect. So too, when you look at people and you only see the superficial part of them. And that's what we don't like about people. And it's usually people that are more similar to us that we don't like because they threaten who we are. Right? No one's ever gets concerned about the person they have nothing to do with. But the person that's close to them, but maybe threatens their standing, let's say in the classroom or standing in society, that's who we have to attack. Right? Because what all we're saying is that we're not b'teach in ourselves. So, you know, we're the type of person that looks at everything and sees tov in it, right? We see that there's a reality of deep connection to people, and we see the good in people and who they are. Then if we see the godliness in them, how can we look at them negatively? So this is the vulva. This is the service that we're trying to accomplish here. There's an unbelievable book. I advise every single person to buy this book. I was in Lakewood, 2 weeks ago. And I picked up this book. It's huge. I have to find it. It's a book called This Love Them for Rabbi Trenk. And it's just mind blowing. It's just a mind blowing of a person, a Rebbe of, He was in Camp Bunk for around 70 years. He went there as a kid and stayed all through. He was a Rebbe in Adelphia. He was a famous Rebbe in Adelphia. And anyone, I happen to have my chavrusa from Rav David Soloveitchik is also Rebbe in Adelphia, so I have a connection there. But he was famous for this concept. He was famous for the aspect of this understanding that if you just ignite the person for who he is, he could change people tremendously. And this, the stories are the mind-boggling, but part of the mind-boggling, why it's mind-boggling is because, you know, we can read his stories, but then we'll say, oh, that's for him. What about for us? So I'll just tell you, some of these stories are just like, you know, I'm a reader, so I started this book this past Shabbos, and I'm pretty much halfway through it, which is standard for Haman's that read. So this, for example, you know, if you're aware in the yeshivas, they have what's called chavrusa tumel. So you just get a picture of this type of person. So chavrusa tumel matter a lot. Why does chavrusa tumel matter? At the beginning of the zman, you got to figure out how you can learn with, and your whole zman. Your whole learning, your whole workness for the whole year is going to be based on who your chavrusa is. And you can have a good chavrusa or a bad chavrusa. And you could be great, it could be a great zman and not a great zman. So his wife, he was in Kol at that point, his wife asked him, so new, how do you get your chavrusas? So this is what he said. He said, oh, me, what I do is I wait till the end of the day, right? And whoever didn't get a chavrusa, that's my chavrusa. His whole focus, not a focus is on himself, like who should I get, the best guy, everything. Who didn't get a chavrusa, that's the guy who I should learn with. That's an example of right? That's who I want to learn with. I want to learn with the person who seems to be left in the back. When you approach your learning that way, all of a sudden you find people who maybe were pushed aside, who maybe feel like they're not, you know, worthwhile, and you ignite them. It's an amazing thing. The stories here are they're unbelievable. There's a whole chapter of basically stories, continuous stories of where people like he had one of his talmidim. He lived in Adelphia in Lakewood, New Jersey. He had one of his talmidim, flappers called him up and asked him, he told him he's in a little bit of a pickle now. He's like his business is that and everything. And he said, okay. He said, I'll call you back. And then an hour and a half later, 2 hours later, this guy's in his office working, and a secretary says, there's a rabbi Trank here for you. And he's like, Rebbe, what are you doing here? It's New York. He said, I felt you needed a hug. Gives him a hug, drives back 2 hours back to Lakewood. So you think that if you want, you work so hard in like, a, you know, make an impression on people. You do that. He drove to Baltimore one time. He flew to Denver, actually, one time. He flew to Denver because one of his talmidim they sent to Denver got into very big trouble. He flew into Denver yeshiva. I didn't get to, validate the story, but I'm sure the article is very good about the stuff. And he convinced the yeshiva to give the bacher a second chance and flew right back on the red eye and went back to shir. And the person, this person became a magid shir himself. So if you look at people and you look at their actions, then the superficial piece, and you see them as what presenting outward, and you don't see the beauty, the egos inside, the tov inside. So you give up when a guy messes up one time, and a guy messes up a little bit, you give up on it. But if you believe that every person there's a tov in there that could really be sparked, there's a something great. So you fly to Denver and make sure that he stays in yeshiva. And I think what underscores this, and if I can find it, it's such an unbelievable story, this to me was one of my favorite Dvar Torah, and a story that he says that I think highlights this. Let me see if I can find it. Sorry. Yeah. Very interesting. This is like so different than anything you probably hear sometimes, right? There was, in the olden days, you used to have to take a bus from Lakewood to Brooklyn, the Bachrim, to get back home. So there was a Lakewood Bala bus who was on the bus. and he was sitting behind two Adelphia Bachrim, and he overheard the conversation. So as soon as he got off the bus, he called Rabbi Trank. And he said, I have to tell you something. He said, what? He said, it seems like there's a small television hidden in the dormitory. Right? I overheard these two Bachrim, and now they were talking about how they have a television in the dormitory. So Rabbi Trank said, I have a question for you. Do you know what Masechta they're learning? Do you know what they're learning in Yeshiva? He said, did you speak to them in learning? He said, no, he didn't. So he said, okay, so what's that? So the open details, what they're learning, what makes them great, what makes them, you know, working hard in Yeshiva, you somehow miss. But the secret you caught. He said, everyone has a secret. Everyone has their challenges. But we like to see the victories and successes and to find them that way, not the other way. You didn't see these boys at all. When you cook, as I say, if you're looking at people, and if you want to see the negative, you can see the negative. You can see the egos. You can see all the hate. You can see the dirtiness, right? But if you want to see who they are, do you want to see who's good in life? I always tell about a person in Aish who Lav Dafka is someone that would be considered a poster boy for the Jewish people. I said, but wow, when you hear his Shema and Kippur and his voice cracks, so what do you see? You see the things that are external, or you see what matters when it matters, right? And that's what David Trank, he saw it and he turned it around. He said that the Belzer Rebbe, famously Rebbe Arler, and this was very rampant in Europe, he used to say, he never used the term Mechal Shabbos. He never said the guy's a Mechal Shabbos. Even when he saw, he said he's Sheikha Ikha Shabbos. He forgot what the Ikha Shabbos is about. He doesn't understand what Shabbos is about. He couldn't bring himself. So one time they were walking, him and his group of people, and there was Jews there smoking cigarettes. And as soon as they saw them, they put it out. So they see that they didn't forget Shabbos because as soon as they saw you, they put it out. So he says, no, they forgot. When they saw our Shtreimlach, they remembered. Right? What's the point? The point is that if we want to look at people and define them by what outward, right? If we want to look at the shell, the hard shell, and say they're dirty, so Hashem really doesn't want it to have anything to do with us. He really doesn't. He's like, not interested. You could be as religious as you want. It doesn't mean anything to him. If you want to see what the beauty of the person is, you want to see his tov, you want to see his goodness. If you're seeing the person for his good, and if you're creating that, and this is Chinuch 101, if you tap into the talent, I actually think one of the blessings of COVID, even though I would not choose to do this, is that when you see your kids at home and they're being educated, you actually realize that your kids have different talents. One kid is, you're not relying on the teacher telling you stuff. You see that one kid, floats around the room and everything she captures by floating around the room. And you have a nice one with the notes writing every detail. And you find out that one of them is pretty good, an excellent writer. And another one is a very talented, remembers everything. And you see chinuch in action. And that's a blessing. It's an opportunity. And I'll say, if you had a relationship during these last 3 months, any relationship, you either got to know the person better and appreciate them more, or it got worse because you've been stuck with them for that time. Hopefully it got better. And the reason why it got better is because you were able to focus on the tov, the good stuff and everything, because the relationship matters more than anything else. And this is enough with a Dvar Torah from David Trank, which is a fascinating Dvar Torah, which I think will tie in everything. We know that Avram Avinu, Hashem came to Avram Avinu and said to him, he said, you have to do the Keres Yitzchak. You have to do the Keres Yitzchak. So he says, you have to sacrifice his son. So Avram said, which son? So Hashem said, the son that you love. And Avram Avinu said that he loves them both. So he said, okay, so it's Yitzchak. Then you see the Pasuk, that's what the Pasuk says. So Hashem says, look, come on, let's be honest. You have one son who is a perfect tzaddik. He has never done anything wrong in his life. Right? He has done a various life. He's perfect. He's Yitzchak. Everything is judged on everything. And then they have Yishmael. He's a wild animal. He's a paradam. He's running around like a mishugana shooting arrows at his kid. He had to send away twice. Really, Avon didn't know which one he loved more. So David said, and Bezan and said, that answers, he loved them both equally. Because Avon saw the good of Yishmael, this is saw the good of Yitzchak. He saw the potential of Yishmael as he did Yitzchak. And he loved both his sons. So if we do that, if we know that, if we understand that, if it's true in that, what happens? Yishmael does tshuva then. That tshuva causes a lot of tzaras. That's why we have tzaras these days. But Yishmael himself, right, which is the koach that we have, that Hashem dons us on every Rosh Hashanah, even though we're going to be better, and Hashem knows good and well that a week later we'll be doing back to our old bad self. But he takes Yishmael's reality of doing tshuva and says, I look at you now. I look what you want. And it's not sheker. It's not a lie. The Gemara says, if you're Mekadosh and Isha, I'm a Nasi or a Tzaddik. Right? You're Mekadosh and Isha, say, well, and you're not a Tzaddik. You're not even close to being a Tzaddik. The Kedushin is a good Kedushin. Why? Because at the moment you're Mekadosh, your expression was that you want to be a Tzaddik. For that moment, you believed you could be a Tzaddik. And if you would tap into that, you'd become a Tzaddik. So the Churban, the Golus, the Av, is the relationship that we've given up on a relationship. You know, the first person we give up the relationship on? The relationship between ourselves. That we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that with the help of the B'tachon, we don't have the B'tachon and the Muna, that with the connection to Hashem, right, great things can happen. We cheat ourselves out of great things because we convince ourselves we're not worthy of it, which needs its own therapy in itself. But if we convince ourselves that we're not a Dal, we're not a Rash, we're not poor, we don't have what the school says is the right kalim for teaching. So your job is to find out what you are good at. You find out what your thing is, you're excited about, right? And you say that I could be great on that with the help of Hashem. And if I engage in that relationship and I say, wait, first I'm going to have a relationship with myself. Then I'm going to grow with the relationship with my spouses, a relationship of father and parent and child, and a relationship of community. And I'm going to grow and I'm going to impact people, right? To impact people that you care so much that you drive 2 hours to give someone a hug because he needs it. And you're in tune that the person needs it. That's a friend, that's a Rebbe student relationship forever, right? When you do that, when you understand that Hashem says you're finally getting what it means. You're finally getting what it means to have a relationship. You understand that. Wow. What relationship, you know what you could accomplish with those mishalom, those analogies relationship? You could have the relationship of a dafka boy that you're connected to God in the real way. And that's why when you pull away the parochas after the churban and the kruvim, are intimately intertwined, as the Gemara says in Yuma, right? What the expression is, you know what the churban is? This is what you gave up. But at the same time, you have to realize that this whole thing is superficial. And if we just got over the superficial, we could get it right back. Because when relationships are real, and they're forever, because they're real, the thing that only stops us from having a relationship is us. So if we believe, if we're b'teach b'Hashem, Aisha Taif, if we believe in God that we could do good and that we could positively impact people, starting with ourselves, then what we literally are going to be doing will be zeichus to build the base of Mikdash. So nothing else matters until we get to this point. Once we get to this point, everything else becomes a bearer of Torah. And that's what the verb says. Once you get rid of Og Melech HaBashan, once you get rid of all the cheshbonos of why you're not good and all the things why we can't have relationships, and you create, open, Moshe Rabbeinu opens up the flow of Torah, which is what you call Yisrael v'raista v'kadosh Baruch Hu chado. That Yisrael, the Torah, and God are literally one. Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKin Hashem Echad with Bitachon knocks out any negative feelings that we have about ourselves. And when we don't have negative feelings about ourselves, I guarantee you don't have negative feelings about other people. Every negative feeling about other people is because they expose a flaw in you. If we can fix that up, we're zeichu to the Beis Hamikdash b'heir b'yameinu. Amen.
Thank you very much.